Well, blessed Sabbath to you, dear friends. This is the last weekend of our medical missionary training. And among other topics this week, we're going to be reviewing the principles of a healthful brain. And we've been given a lot in the spirit of prophecy and in the Bible about how we can have a sound or a disciplined mind, as was brought out in the children's story today by Sue. We're going to talk about this afternoon the physical and the physical aspects of having a healthy mind. But today, in this presentation, we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspects of having a healthy mind. There are physical, mental, and spiritual properties to health. Today, we're specifically going to talk about the spiritual laws of mental health. And this comes very close to home for me, because I was not raised as a Protestant Christian. I was not raised on the Bible. I never had my own Bible until a Bible worker came up to me when I was 17 years old, when I was in Fort Lauderdale, and handed me a Bible, an old tattered King James Bible. And she said, "Jesus loves you." And that was a new concept for me. You may think, what? I never heard that. And she taught me how to pray, how to really pray from my heart. That was my introduction to Jesus. That was my introduction to the Bible. Before that time, I was severely depressed. There was darkness clothed me. I didn't know what was happening. I was constantly very sad. I couldn't concentrate. I could no longer concentrate. I was a straight-A student in high school, but then I was no longer able to concentrate. And I had all the symptoms of major depression. It was Jesus Christ who healed me. I wasn't adhering to the spiritual laws of mental health. And when I became a Christian and learned how to read the Bible and learned about Christ's healing, that's what specifically healed me. Now, that's not true for everyone. There's also physical aspects and things that we do in our lives that affect our brain, and there's hereditary components too. But for me, this was the biggest cause of the depression. Well, let's get into it now. So this is actually an extension of our medical missionary course, and I'm taking a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book, The Ministry of Healing. As I spoke to you last time, it is an inspired book. We're told that it, and I told you last time too, it contains the wisdom of the great physician. If you think about that, this book contains the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Even though it was written 120 years ago, its truths are validated by science over and over and over and over again. My last job in the Providence Health System, my last job as a nurse, I retired about 5 years ago, but I still do lots of volunteer work as a nurse, was to look at the research, look at the scientific research, and make sure that our practice in the hospital setting matched the scientific research. And I can tell you that I use that same principle in comparing what's in the Ministry of Healing, and it never fails. Science catches up to what was written by the inspired prophet of the Lord. So let's start. We're going to look at the laws of mental health. And the Psalms are full of principles of mental health. "I have set the Lord always before me," the psalmist says. That's a key to mental health. I keep the Lord as an eye. My eye is single to the glory of God. I have him continually in my presence. Like Enoch, I'm constantly asking him, "Is this the path I should walk in?" That's what Enoch did. "Because he is at my right hand." The right hand symbolizes authority, power, choice. "I will not be shaken, because his right hand is holding my hand, and he's controlling my will. I will not be shaken. Therefore, so those are the conditions, "therefore my heart is glad and my spirit rejoices." This is just one psalm, one verse out of hundreds in the Bible that share the principles of mental health. Let's look at our responsibility as Seventh-day Adventists. We're told in a letter from 1890, "Give out your light, pour forth your beams, mirrored from heaven, O daughter of Zion." We are the daughter of Zion. What are these beams? What is this light? This is the glory of God. This is Christ within us, the hope of glory. And we're told in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 4, these verses talk about our time, about us now, about us giving the loud cry of the third angel's message. And the core component of that message is the character of God, his love, his grace, his glory. "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." Does the darkness cover the earth now? Yes, and gross darkness the people. "But the Lord shall arise on thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." But we are blessed. We are blessed with incredible light. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light." People will seek us out for the truths that we have. "And kings, even kings, people of influence, to the brightness of thy rising." Do we shine with the brightness of Jesus Christ? Do we shine with the glory of God? "Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they that gather themselves together. They come to you seeking for light." And then we read in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Actually, the first 10 verses in that chapter are all about the loud cry. "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God." And what the loud cry is Christ's presence in us, of humanity in union with divinity, so that we shine. We shine because we're connected to Christ. We're in darkness when we're not connected to him. There's a wonderful chapter in Ministry of Healing, also here in early writings, and here in Review and Herald, preparing for Christ's return. And we're told our responsibility, our duty here. More than a duty, it's a blessing. "According," and an honor, "according to the truth that we have received above others, we are debtors to impart the same to them." Do you see what it's saying here? We have a responsibility because we have great light. We have great truth. Like that Bible worker over 55 years ago, she felt the responsibility to share the word of God. And she was doing something very simple. It didn't cost her more than getting a used Bible to share. "The Lord is coming. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God as he comes to punish the world for its iniquity. We are to prepare the way for him by acting out our part in getting a people ready for that day." And this is what we've been learning in the medical missionary course. Just some simple basic methods, some simple home remedies, some simple principles that we can share with people so that they can have health of body and mind and spirit. What is glory? What does it mean to have Christ in us, the hope of glory? Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery." What is this mystery? This mystery is that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Glory, the definition of glory, as it's written here in the Bible, is brightness and splendor and the divine presence or the manifestation of it within us. This is the hope of attaining heavenly glory. So before we can go out and share, before we can go out and help, we must have this glory and this light within us. I want to just share a story, an experience I had this past week that just increased my faith. I was very busy this past week, and I wanted to spend the whole day on Thursday preparing finishing up the preparation for this presentation and for the classes I'll be doing this afternoon and tomorrow. And a friend of mine called, and she said, "You have to come to this meeting." This is at another Seventh-day Adventist church about 45 minutes from me. She said, "The power, the power of God is manifesting itself in this meeting, like we read about. Like we read about in early writings, like we read about what happened to the early pioneers, the early Seventh-day Adventists. I said, and I trust the woman who called me is a dear friend of over 30 years and very spiritual woman, and I trust her. She doesn't get into fanaticism or anything like that, but beware, brothers and sisters, those of us, and I hope we all are part of that group that gives a loud cry, we will be accused of fanaticism. I said, okay, what time are you meeting? She said, we meet 3 times a week at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I live 45 minutes away. And I thought, initially I was going to say, no, I can't do that. I'm too busy. But I was deeply impressed. Go to this meeting. I said, okay, Lord. So I woke up at 3, got ready, left in time to be at the meeting. Brothers and sisters, it was a meeting of praise, sharing Bible verses and prayer. And it was a meeting I'll always remember the rest of my life. Christ was lifted up. I can't explain it. It's more of an experience. He was lifted up and the Holy Spirit came very, very close. It's the closest I've ever come to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is starting to be poured out. There are small groups of people meeting, praying, seeking His Holy Spirit. These were leaders in a very large church, in the Grants Pass Church, a 1,000-member church. It was a small group and mainly consisted of leaders. It was a great, great blessing. I encourage you to do the same. The Holy Spirit will be poured out in groups the way it was at Pentecost. What was brought out in that meeting that brought me to tears, and I don't easily cry, was Christ in Gethsemane and the struggle he had with the Father, how 3 times he went to the Father, Lord, take this cup from me. If there's any way possible, if there's any other way possible, take this from me. And each time the Lord said, no, go forward. And what was troubling Jesus was not the pain, not the torture, not the physical torture at the cross. What was troubling him was eternal separation from the Father. He could not see beyond the portals of the tomb. And you can read about this in Desire of Ages. You can read about this in the Gospels, in Matthew. He thought he would be suffering the second death. He went to the cross thinking he'd be separated from the Father forever. And he did it for you. If you were the only person that would have rebelled, if I was the only person that would have rebelled, he would have done it for you. And we could sense the Holy Spirit come close. So I just pray we all can experience this. It's an experience of coming close to the Lord. Okay, mental health law number one. Look away from self and look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. If we look at self, we're only going to see evil, because we're all evil. We're all naturally evil. There's no good about us. We're told in Ministry of Healing, it's not wise to look to ourselves and study our emotions. This is not what I learned in nursing school. We were taught, have your patients talk out their feelings. But we're told by inspiration, it's not wise to study our emotions. We are to look away from self and look to Jesus. Rest in Christ's love and under his protecting care. When sin struggles for mastery in the heart, when guilt oppresses the soul and burdens the conscience, when unbelief clouds the mind, remember that Christ's grace is sufficient to subdue sin and banish the darkness. So when we read this, we think, well, how do I do this? We pray for it. Pray for it. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know how to look away from myself because all my life I've just looked at myself. That's what I've been taught to do. Help me to look to you. Help me to hear your voice in your word and through the Holy Spirit. Entering into communion with Jesus, we enter into a region of peace. This is a beautiful quote. Look up to Jesus. Look up. It's fatal to look down or to look at yourself. Looking down, the earth reels and sways beneath you, and nothing is sure. A divine hand is reaching toward you. The hand of the infinite is stretched over the battlements of heaven to grasp your hand in its embrace. Now, a battlement are these little indentations on this wall. And usually there's a gun there or an arrow to kill the enemy. But as this picture shows, this illustration, which, by the way, is something that was artificially generated, the hand of God is reaching over that battlement for you. The mighty helper is nearer to help the most erring, the most sinful and despairing. Amen. That's the message people need to hear. That's the message that will bring people to us, that will fill our pews, that will make the beast of Revelation 13 angry, and that will save millions. Look up by faith, and the light of glory of God will shine upon you. How can I get this glory? We pray for it. Pray for it in groups. Make it a priority. This group is blessed at 5 in the morning because they make it a priority. They work. Most of them work. Many of them work. But they meet at 5 in the morning. They also meet at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and they meet on Thursday afternoon at 5:30. So they meet 5 times a week in prayer and in study of the word, pleading for the Holy Spirit. And God's answering that prayer. Mental health number 2, express words of faith, praise, and gratitude. Even if you don't feel like it. We're told this is a principle, another principle or law of mental health. While words express thoughts, it's also true that thoughts follow words. If we would give more expression to our faith, rejoice more in the blessings that we know we have, the great mercy and love of God, we should have more faith and greater joy. An example of this is, I'm struggling with depression and anxiety. However, I have faith that God will heal me. As I work on some changes in my diet and sleep and exercise and thought processes, and as I come close to Jesus, we're given many, many promises. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Even on earth, we may have joy as a wellspring, never failing, because fed by the streams that flow from the throne of God. Again, Ministry of Healing, page 253. So express words of faith, praise, gratitude. When you want to complain, praise the Lord. Keep our conversation in heaven, as we're told in Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about heaven. Think about heaven. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And brothers and sisters, I'm guilty here. What came to my mind, conviction that just came to me, is you got to shut that social media off. You're on social media too much. Amen. Praise and gratitude. Nothing tends more to promote the health of body and of soul than does a spirit of gratitude and praise. Notice here that praise not only brings health to the mind, but to the body, to our spiritual aspect of our nature too. Psalms are filled with praise. Just go to any psalm and you'll find a praise there. For example, in Psalm 35:18, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. I will praise thee, how often? All day long. All day long in my mind and in my words I will praise you. I know you're going to have this physician here, or she's a psychologist, I believe, Dr. Jennifer Jill Switzer. You're going to have her later this month, I saw. This is her prescription, is to every day write down 3 things you're thankful for and share each one with one other person. Start with a gratitude journal. Write thank you notes. Count blessings with a friend. And This is where science matches with the Bible and with the spirit of prophecy. Studies show that people with depression and anxiety who express gratitude has significantly better mental health. And from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Mental health law number 3, dwell on the word of God. In the chapter, the ministry of healing, there's about 10 healing promises. For those who are in the medical missionary course, search those out. Share those healing promises with people you're working with. People who are not only suffering mentally, but also physically. A couple of those healing promises are, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. God has not given us a spirit of fear, as was so beautifully read today, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power that the Bible is talking about here is the power of love. And the sound mind is a disciplined mind, as was beautifully brought out in the children's story. But it's also of a healthy mind. That old English word sound means a healthy mind. We also read in the Bible that the word of God, and there's several verses that talk about the word of the God as a sword, but not just a regular sword, but a two-edged sword. In Revelation 1:16, and even there, Jesus is replete in Revelation. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength, as we will shine when the Holy Spirit dwells within us. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two. In fact, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So my husband is a combat war veteran, and I asked him, what's a two-edged sword used for? He said it's used for killing. That's the purpose of a two-edged sword. It's used for killing. So when Paul here is talking about cutting through the joints and marrow, it's talking about killing. It's a weapon against our enemy and the evil angels. And it's for us, free. So let's use that sword. Some more healing Bible promises in the ministry of healing. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning will be ending. And this is the first Bible verse I ever memorized when I was 18, after I was baptized. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll never forget the day I took that Bible back to my apartment. And she told me, she said, start with the book of John. I didn't know where any book in the Bible was. We never studied the Bible in my home or in my religious training. So I went to the book of John. I never heard a sermon on the Bible. But the Holy Spirit healed me as I was reading the Word of God. The Word of God in itself is powerful and healing. We're told in Steps to Christ, fill the whole heart with the words of God. They are the living water quenching your burning thirst. They are the living bread from heaven. And I couldn't get enough. I was so thirsty for that water. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. So share these promises, these life-giving promises. Don't assume that the person you're talking to has ever read a Bible verse. There are very few Protestants, very few Seventh-day Adventists in my home state. I think there's maybe, I want to say, for every 3,000 people, there's one Seventh-day Adventist in my home state. In Oregon, for every 30 people, Every 300 people, there's one Seventh-day Adventist. So there are still dark areas even in our country. Mental health law number 4, repent and confess sins. Sometimes the guilt of unconfessed sin contributes to anxiety and depression. That was my problem. I had never confessed my sins to the Lord. I went to a priest, but my sins weren't forgiven. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, the world of sin. God disturbs our minds that sometimes we can turn our attention to eternal realities and to Him. And that's what was happening to me. And I'm thankful my mind was sick because I found the remedy in the Word of God. So the promise, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But Lord, don't I have to do some penance? Don't I have to be good before I do this? Don't I have to do something? Don't I have to prove? No. You're forgiven by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ. Amen. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. And this is talking about someone who's not confessed their sins. They're silent, I'm not confessing. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, heavy to save. God seeks us out. He pursues us. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah, or listen. But God has a gift of repentance. Repentance is a gift. And we're told in Steps to Christ it includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. And His divine grace and His light will give the power to turn away. And if you fall, then you get up again and you confess again and you ask for help and you seek Him again, and He will over and over and over again forgive and work with you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Many, many promises of forgiveness. We're told in Hebrews and in the spirit of prophecy, we need a continual application of the blood of Christ. We need to continually ask Christ for his blood. And we're told in Hebrews 9:13, for if the blood of bulls and goats sanctifies, it not only forgiveness, but sanctification. Sanctifies for the pure and purifies us, the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Are you just going through the motions and have dead works? I shared with you with some of the leaders in my home church, and they said, I feel that way. I feel dead. But we have the light, and we have life, and we have the blood of Christ. There for the taking, there for the asking. So we're told the blood of Christ is efficacious. Efficacious means that it is effective and powerful, used in this sentence. But it needs to be applied how often? Continually. We're continually dependent upon his blood like we're dependent upon air. And medical missionaries, this is what we need to share with people. How essential for those living in the perils of the last days? Are we living in the perils of the last days? Yes. And exposed to the temptations of Satan to have the blood of Christ applied to their hearts continually, daily, continually. Mental health law number 5, exercise the power of the will. And this is something I struggle to understand. So I just pray, Lord, take my will. I don't understand what it means to give you my will. What does that mean? But remember the power of your words. Lord, I can't give my will. Take it. Take my will and use it according to your will. Work through me. Take control of me with your Holy Spirit. Because there's two choices. You have the spirit of Satan controlling you or the spirit of the Lord. There's no in between. We are not in control. The free power of decision or choice that God has given to each of us, we can control that though. We can control, Lord, I give you my will. Take it. Work through me. We're told everything depends on the right action of the will. We can't change our heart, but we can choose to serve him. And we're told the ministry of healing, exercised in the right direction, the will would control the imagination and be a potent means of resisting and overcoming the disease of both mind and body. We're told in the ministry of healing that 9/10 of disease originate in the mind. The power of prayer. Prayer, what is prayer? Communicating with God, pouring out your heart to Him, opening our heart to Him as we would to a friend. But more than a friend, He can answer our prayers. He can give us the right solution. Present your daily needs before Him. Cast all your care upon Him. Many of us know this, but think about this. Prayer is the key. A key in Bible prophecy represents power, authority. Jesus in Revelation 1 says He has the key of hell and death. He's giving you the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence, all the gifts of heaven. So if you ask for light, if you ask for His Holy Spirit, He will give it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. He's promised. I trust Him. I had an uncle, Uncle Peter, and he owned, he had several businesses. He was not a Christian. He swore a lot and he drank and he smoked, Lucky Strikes. But people trusted his word. He owned a large fruit stand. He sold fruits and vegetables and plants, and they trusted him. I don't recall he ever wrote a contract. He may have, but I don't recall that. But they trusted. When he gave his word, people knew that they could depend on him. If he said he was going to be someplace, or if he was going to deliver something, you know, like thousands of dollars in contracts or even more, they trusted him. How much more should we trust our Heavenly Father? If we as people can trust a sinful man, how much more, who didn't even claim to be a Christian, how much more can we trust our Heavenly Father? The power of prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. When the Bible talks about heart, it's often talking about the mind. Try me and know my heart, my anxieties. It can also be translated. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When Jesus speaks of the new heart, He means the mind, the life, the whole being. To have a change of heart is to withdraw the affections from the world and to fasten them upon Jesus. To have a new heart is to have a new mind, new purposes, new motives. What is the sign of a new heart? A changed life. There is a daily, hourly dying to selfishness and pride. This is from Youth Instructor, 1901. And again, if you're reading this and thinking, I don't have this, then pray for it. Give me a new heart. Give me a new mind, a new life, new purposes, new motives, a changed life. He will answer that prayer. Another law of health is the power of song. Song is a weapon we can use against discouragement. As we thus open the heart to the sunlight of the Savior's presence, we have health and His blessing. When we sing these beautiful hymns, the holy angels and the Holy Spirit draw close, shedding light and dispelling spiritual darkness. We're told directly in a manuscript, singing, I saw, often drove the enemy away. That's why it's used in, especially in other countries, underdeveloped countries, where there's demon possession, it's often used in expelling demons. It drives the enemy away. That's why you feel better when you sing. Mental health law number 8, the power of doing good. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. This is from Isaiah 58:8. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked and you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? So along with the Bible, I praise the Lord. The Lord, by miracles, the Bible worker who gave me that Bible was not a Seventh-day Adventist. So she didn't understand all of these laws of health. She understood about spiritual health and about the Bible. But God connected me through a coal porter with Seventh-day Adventists shortly after I got my Bible. Because I prayed. I said, Lord, lead me to a true church. And these Adventists helped me by getting me involved with doing good. Simple things. Just simply doing simple things in the church. And helping, you know, mothers. I remember helping a mother, like helping her with canning. And that simple act of kindness really helped me with depression. They understood these principles, these Adventists from over 50 years ago, because they studied the ministry of healing. They studied the Bible, and they understood this principle. That whole section there is a cure. It is a cure for depression, anxiety. Take away the yoke from your midst, the criticism, the pointing your finger. Extend your soul to the hungry, not only those who are physically hungry, but spiritually hungry. We're told in Ministry of Healing, page 257, the consciousness of right doing is one of the best medicines for diseased bodies and mind. So remember this, medical missionaries, when you're trying to help people. All of you, remember when you're trying to help those others. Another thing, people who may be in pain mentally or grief. Grief is different from depression. That's a whole other sermon. You may be in physical pain. We have this wonderful promise in the Ministry of Healing you can share. Often your mind may be clouded because of pain. Then don't try to think. You know that Jesus loves you. He understands our weaknesses. He understands us. He understands the pain, the trauma that we've gone through. He understands that some of us may have a little bit of attention deficit disorder, and our prayers are all over the place, and our Bible studies all over the place. That's okay. You're still reaching out to him. Anyway, she says, you may do his will by simply resting in his arms. What a God. What a God. Behold your God. And we also have this wonderful promise from an article in the Review and Herald. Look to Jesus through the tears. Oh, the blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears that they don't discern him. He longs to clasp our hands firmly while we cling to him in simple faith, imploring him to guide us. If we will let the comfort and peace of Jesus into our lives, we will be kept close to his great heart of love. This is what we ever need to have present in our minds. Words of comfort. This is what I share with people who've lost a loved one, along with Revelation 21:4, that God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and there'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, for the former things are passed away. We have a young man in our church who is dying from glioblastoma, a very aggressive brain tumor. He was ready to do Bible work, he and his wife, ready to become a Bible worker. But he's looking in faith to God. This is what I'm going to share with them, and especially his young wife too. This earth is the place of preparation for heaven. This is not our home. The time spent here is the Christian's winter. This is the winter of our existence. Here the chilly winds of affliction blow upon us, and the waves of trouble roll against us. But in the near future, when Christ comes, sorrow and sighing will be forever ended. Then will be our summer. Then will be the Christian summer. All trials will be over, and there will be no more sickness or death. Great promise. Share this with those who are suffering. And I'm going to end with this. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He is our only hope. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to pray before we sing our song. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray a blessing on everyone here. I pray that we as a people will wake up to your soon coming. I pray that we can experience the light of your presence, the light of your Holy Spirit, the presence of your Holy Spirit, and that we can see in our mind's eye your suffering, Jesus, how you became a human being, that you gave up the glory of heaven. And even in Gethsemane, you could have walked away and that would have been fine. But it was because of each one of us, if it was only one, that you suffered the separation from the Father and the physical torture, and that you will be human forever. And we are forever grateful. And Lord, I pray a special blessing on the medical missionaries, that they'll be able to help many people with these basic principles of truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is 205, Gleams of the Golden Morning.